Today's shiur is Daf Nun, and we're going to begin on Daf Mem Tesam Beis, five lines from the bottom. We learned in the Mishnah, the Begizei Tzemer Ve'em Atatlin, that you're allowed to use wool shearings to do Atmana, but you're not allowed to move them because they're Muksa. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, Lo Shana L'Shloi Tamim Behem. The only time the Begizei Tzemer are considered Muksa if they had not been used. Aval tam behen, if they were actually used, matatan leisam, they may be moved. Eisvei hum rabbanan bar yoyim l'rava, so a Talmud who just joined the yeshiva that day asked Rava, it says, taimnan begizei tzemer, you're allowed to use gizei tzemer to make atmana, however, ve'ei matatan leisam, you're not allowed to move them. So says the Braisa Ketzur Oysa, what should you do? Noitos akisoi, pick up the lid of the pot, on which the Gizei Tzemer are laying, v'hei noifles, and that's how they'll fall off. Now this is obviously difficult. Obviously we're talking about Gizei Tzemer that were being used. If the Gizei Tzemer are being used, Rava said that they're not muksa. So why do I have to move them indirectly through the lid of the pot? Eli itma hochi itma. Amar Rava lo yishana ela shlo yichtan latmana. You know when the Gizei Tzemer are muksa, when they were not designated to be used for atmana. Ava yichtan latmana, once they're designated to be used for atmana, metatan loisam, they're no longer muksa and they may be used. It menami, ki osa rovin amar of Yaakov, amar of Asi ben Shol, amar Rebbe, loy shana el shlo yichtan latmana. This whole problem is only when they weren't designated for atmana. Ava yichtan latmana, once they're designated for atmana, metatan loisam, you're allowed to use it. So now Rava is explained that when Rava said that they were used for Atmana, it's not just that they were used for Atmana, they were so designated, and Rashi says, La'olam, that you're always going to use these Gizei Tzemer for Atmana. Ravina Amar, Ravina says a different teretz, B'shela Pesek Shanu. You know when the Gizei Tzemer are Muksa, when you take them out of a warehouse. So they were there to be sold, not to be used. That's why, even if they were used for Atmana, they remain Muksa. The Gizei Tzemer that Rava was referring to were Gizei Tzemer that were just taken out of your own home, not from the warehouse. Tanya Nami Hocha, Gizei Tzemer Shel HaPesek, the Gizei Tzemer from the warehouse, Ein Metatlan Son, may not be moved. The Meskin and Balabais, Lishtamish Ben, but if they were so used, they were so designated, that they will be used for Hatmana, then they lose their Muksa status and Metatlan Son. Toysus and Daf Mem Ches asks a question. Here we're saying that Gizei Tzemer, whether if they were designated or if they're not from a warehouse, are not Muksa. We learned in Daf Mem Ches that Abaye says the Muchin, that was the felt that's used, that could also be used for Hatmana, remains Muksa always. So what's Abaye going to say with this Gemara? So there are a few Terutzim in the Rishonim. One Terutz the Rishonim give is that Abaye was referring to Muchin that are from the Pesach, that are from the warehouse, which Ravina is agreeing remain Muksa. Another Terutz is that they were not designated La'olam. We just said that Yichton works, and Rashi says Yichton La'olam. Those Muchin that Abaye was referring to were not Meyuchid La'olam. Another Terutz the Rishonim give is that Muchin are more significant than Gizei Tzemer. And that's why Gizei Tzemer can lose their Muksa status easier than Muchen. The fourth teretz is that it could be a Abaye and Rava attacker arguing. Tana Rava Babachana Kamei de Rav. Charoye Shodekel. Charoye Shodekel are hard pieces of wood branches that come off a palm tree. Now, the way the Ritva explains this concept of Charoye Shodekel, in one way, they're better than the Gizei Tzemer, and in one way, they're worse. In the way that they're better is that they're very inexpensive. They really don't have much value, whereas Gizei Tzemer have significant value. On the other hand, they're less valuable, they're more muksa because they really have very little use. However, Gizei Tzemer have very significant use. So they have advantages and disadvantages. So now you have the Charoye Shodekel, you have these branches which are muksa, because they're generally used to burn for firewood, which we're making muksa. But you, shigadon le'etim, you cut them down to use for firewood, and then v'nimlech aleihem yeshiva, you decided that you want to use them to sit on them. So the Tanakhama holds Tzarech L'Kasher. You have to actually tie them together. You have to actually do a Maisa to take away the status of Muksa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aymer, and it's Tzarech L'Kasher. You don't have to think, you don't have to actually tie them together. You just have to decide that you're designating it for a chair, for a seat, and that's enough. And continues the Gemara, who Tana Lava, who Amala, he's the one that taught us the Braisa, and he told us that Allah Rav Shimon Gamliel, that Allah Rav Shimon Gamliel. Itmar. So now the Gemara says, we learned from Amaroyim, what is the halacha regarding Chiroi Shadakal? Rav Amakoshev, Rav says he should tie him. Shmuel Amakoshev, Shmuel says thinking about it is enough. Rav Asa Amayoshev, if you sit on them, if you had sat on these branches once, this is the way Tosfos learns the Gemara, Afabish Loi Kishev, even if you never actually did an action of tying them together, the Afabish Loi Kishev, even if you didn't do a Machshava, just sitting on them once is enough. Says the Gemara. Bishlam a Rav that says you have to actually tie them together. Who dama katanakama? He's going to hold like the Tanakama. Vishmul Nami that says that you have to have machshava. Who dama kribshim gamliel? He's going to hold like kribshim gamliel. Eller of Asi that says sitting is enough. Dama kaman. Who is he going to work with? Answers the Gemara. Who dama kahai tana? He's going to agree with the following tana. The tanya, yoitzip bikurim. Bikurim are such pieces of wool that they were that were used as a bandage. The point of them was that people had a wound on their body and they didn't want their clothing to rub against the wound, so they used to take this linen piece of material, put it into oil, and then tie it around the wound. So like Rashi points out, the shayla here is not a shayla of refuah b'shabbos, because he's not doing it for refuah purposes, he's doing it just to stay clean, not to have his wound rubbed at. The problem here, Rashi explains, as I saw, if something isn't a malbush, if something isn't a garment, you're not allowed to walk out of it with it on Shabbos. So the halach is, b'zman shetzavon, when you put them into oil, b'karchem m'shich, and then you tie them around with a string, then you're allowed to walk out with the Shabbos because it's considered a malbush. However, light tzavon, if you didn't put them into oil, v'loy karchem m'shich, you didn't tie it with a rope, a string, and yoitz behen. However, it says here, and this is the proof to what Rav Asi says, if you used it, even if you didn't put it into oil, and you didn't tie it with a string, what do you see? Using it once is enough. Tosfos says that the shaila here is regarding muksa, but we're learning with Rashi. Amar Rav Ashi, afanan nami tnina, that using something once will make it lose the status of muksa, as Rav Asi says. Hakasha gabamita, if you have straw on a bed. Now straw is muksa. Hakasha gabamita lo yinanei b'yodai. You're not allowed to move it with your hand, because you're not allowed to move muksa with your hand. Avo minanei b'gufa, you're allowed to move it with your body, because that's tilta min atzad that we learned is mutter with muksa. Av mahayilov mach behema. But let's say this was designated to be animal feed, a shahayil of karas sodan, mibayjoyim, or was already part of your pillow or mattress from before Shabbos, menei b'yada, as soon as it was used. Shema minah, that as soon as you use it once, it's enough. I just want to point out a very important Rashi. You know, we always say that you're not allowed to move muksa. We just said it a moment ago. But the shayla is, are you allowed to touch muksa? But you're allowed to sit on muksa, not move it. So Rashi says, "Bat these chori shaldekel." So Rashi says, "Tzarech l'kasher, l'kasherim yachmi b'yoyim." You have to tie them together. L'chiach shlishiva oimdim v'im l'kasherim yachad. If you didn't tie it, osu l'tatlan l'macha. You're not allowed to move them. To have a yichud machshava, he's saying Rav Shita that machshava is not enough. But what is he saying? What will be prohibited? What will be prohibited will be moving it, sitting or touching it. Will be mutter, because muksa you're allowed to sit or touch on. So now we identified as follows. We started this piece of Gemara about the Chiroi Shaldekel with a Tanakhama that said, Tzarech L'Kasher, you have to actually tie it, and then you had Rav Shimon Gamliel said the Machshav is enough. But the Tanakhama, we don't know who it is. So now the Gemara seeks to find who is this Tanakhama. Ask the Gemara, man Tana the Palaglade Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Who's the Tana that disagrees with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and says that you have to do a Maisa, you have to be Makasherit? Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina bar Akiva. It's Rav Chanina bar Akiva. The Chiyos Rav Dima Amr Rav Zira Amr Rav Chanina. Pam Achas Hol Rav Chanina bar Akiva L'makam Echad. Rav Chanina bar Akiva arrived at a certain place. Umatza Chori Shaldakram Shagodim L'shameitzim. He found these palm tree branches that have been cut down for wood. V'amlo L'talmidav, and he told his students, Tzu V'chishvu, go and designate them in your mind, Kedei Shineish V'leim L'machar, in order that we should be able to sit on them tomorrow. Why? V'lo Yadana, and we don't know why was he saying that designation is enough. Ila Beis HaMishta Hava, if they were going to a wedding, I Beis HaAvel Hava, or they were going to a home of an oval and they needed chairs to sit on. Says the Gemara, what's the difference why they needed him? If it was a Beis HaAvel or a Beis HaMishta, they needed him. And if we're saying that Machshav is enough, so they had the Machshav, they had the designation, and you find, says the Gemara, Mida Kami Ibeis HaMishta, Ibeis HaHavel Havel, why did they have to know what the story was, that it was a wedding or a Beis HaAvel? Because Dafka Beis HaAvel, Beis HaMishta, Dafka Beis HaAvel, Beis HaMishta, the treaty, that they're very preoccupied. So Chazal were Mekel, and said that even though normally you need a Maisa, even though normally you need Lakasher, here we'll be lenient and let you do Machshava. Aval, Hacha, in a normal situation, where you don't have these issues bothering you, Kasher in, Dafka, if you tie him, that's when they lose their Muksa status. Like Kasher, if you don't tie him, they don't lose their Muksa status. Thinking is not enough. So that's what we see here, who is the Tana? Rav Chanina ben Akiva. The Mefarshim point out, what's the difference of the Beis HaAvel, Beis HaMishta? As long as there was a reason, what's the difference of Beis HaAvel, Beis HaMishta? So they point out like this, there's more of a need for chairs and there's more of a tumult by a Beis HaMishta, by a wedding, than by a Beis HaAvel. So if it was a Beis HaMishta, there may not be a heta for Beis HaAvel. If there was a heta for Beis HaAvel, we'll certainly have a heta for Beis HaMishta, which is more of a need of chairs than a Beis HaAvel. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda Machnas Adam Mali Kapasa Offer. A person can bring in his whole barrel of earth, which earth we learned is muksa, it's muksa machmas kufay. But if you take the barrel and you designate it, vice versa, it's no longer muksa. Darsh mazut mishmeid mazut rabba, v'hu shiyich lai karen zavis. As long as you put it into the corner and you're showing that you're using this earth for your personal needs, it's not muksa. Om rabbanu kamed rapapa, command. Who is this enough? The designation without a mice is enough. It's Rav Shimon Gamliel. Dik Rabbanan, we just finished saying that Rabbanan hold Ha'amri bina Maisa. And you don't have any Maisa when you just take a barrel of dirt. Amal Rapapa, so Rapapa says no. I feel Tam Rabbanan. Even Rabbanan may agree that taking a barrel of dirt and putting it into the corner is enough. You know why? Because at Kanli Kam Rabbanan the Bina Maisa, you know when Rabbanan said you need a Maisa, Ela Midi the Baravida by Maisa, where Maisa is doable, such as the Churiya Shadekel, where they could be tied. So if you could do a Maisa of tying, that's the only way it will lose its status of Muksa. However, Aval Midi the Loi Baravida by Maisa, what kind of Maisa do you want to do on earth? What could you do with it? Therefore, Loi, there's no need to do a Maisa, and the Rabbanan will agree that a Maisa is not required. Says the Gemara, Neimik Tanoi, perhaps this Shaila of an item where a Maisa is not doable could lose its Muksa status just where a Machshava is perhaps a Machloikis Tanoi. It says, a Tosefta, a Masechta Beya, Bechol Chofenes Akelim, you're allowed to use anything to wipe your utensils to polish them, to give them a shine. Chutz mikli gesef, you're not allowed to use gagartkin as some sort of a earth, it's a polish that you're not allowed to use to polish silver. Why? Because silver, this is why most Rishonim learn, silver is a soft metal and it's very easy to polish. So Rashi says if you polish it with gagartkin, it'll be mamachik. That's how Rashi learns. Rambam wants to learn will be a shayla makabe patish. We're going to learn with Rashi. Ha-nesr v'chol. What is obvious from this brisa? To use nesr and chol, different types of earth, which don't rub the silver, mutter. Matanya. We learned another brisa. the nes v'chol is asur, that you're not allowed to use it. So what's the halacha? Is it mutter or is it asur? My lab a hokimuski. Isn't this the machloikus? The mass of being a maisa. The tana kama hole, the tana that holds you can't use nes v'chol, the earth. All you did here was just have a machshava that you're going to use this earth. A machshava is not enough. So that's why the earth is muksa, and they may not be used on your silver. And the manda omer that holds that you are allowed to use nes v'chol, is designation is enough, because in something with, where a maisa is not doable, designation is enough. Loi being a maisa, and that's why you can use him, there's no problem of muksa. Says the Gemara loi. That's not the machloikis. Because everybody will agree, the Kula Alma will agree, loy being a maisa. There is no need for a maisa where a maisa is not doable. We have now a contradiction of the brises. One brisa says you can use nes v'chol, one brisa says you can't use nes v'chol. Says the Gemara, loy kasha. Har of Yehuda, dama davashem is kavan asa. Yehuda we learned many times, it says something that's unintended is still asr. So here, even though it wasn't your intention to be mamachik the silver, but that's what's going to happen, and he holds Dovashenim Skavan is also. Ha, the Brisa that says it's Mutter, is Rav Shimon Da'amah Dovashenim Skavan Mutter. So now what are we saying? B'mayu Kimta L'Hod Shari, how are we establishing that the Brisa that allows you to do it, according to whom is he going? Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon says, a Dovashenim Skavan is Mutter. Okay. Eima Seifa, but let's learn the rest of that Brisa. It says in the rest of that Brisa, V'lo Yochab Emsaroi. You're not allowed to use it to wash your face. This nes v'chol. Why? Because you may pull out hair. Ask the Gemara, here Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon Mishra Kishori, I bring you a proof that Rav Shimon holds that you may use nes v'chol even in a situation where you're not allowed to pull out hair. The Tanan. It says in Mishnah Masech the Nazir. The Mishnah says like this. We know what a Nazir is. A Nazir is a person who took a nether that he's not going to drink wine, he's not going to cut his hair. So he's not allowed to do things that will make his hair go out. So the halach is nazar chayfif. He could scrub himself on a fast space, his hair, his beard, with nes v'chol. Now, why is Rav Shimon allowing the nazar to use nes v'chol on his hair, on his beard? Because it's davashen miskaven, he's not looking to pull out his hair. So then why is nes v'chol not allowed to be used on Shabbos? The only thing Rav Shimon agrees is avaloi soirik. You're not allowed to comb your hair. A nazar is not allowed to comb his hair. Why is a nazar allowed to comb his hair? So Rashi, there's an interesting Rashi and Tosfos. We have to know if there's a machloikus. Rashi says it's a psik reisha. When you comb your hair, hair will certainly fall out. So we know that even though Rav Shimon is makel on a davar she'eino miskaven, however, when it's a psik reisha, he's going to be machmer. Combing is a psik reisha. Tosfos says that somebody who combs his hair intends to pull out hair. That's what Tosfos says. The lasharis nina hamadolus miskaven. He's intending to pull out his hair. So Tosfos seems to say it's not enough that it's a psik reisha. Tosfos seems to be saying that he has to want to pull out his hair, which is very difficult to understand because we know that according to Rav Shimon, a psik reisha is also. So Rav Shmuel Rozovsky wants to say that there's no machloikus Rashi and Tosfos here. They're both saying the same thing. A psik reisha turns it into a davar hamiskaven. Meaning like this. Let's say I have absolutely no kavana to pull out hair. But by combing hair must come out. That turns it that I meant to pull out hair. And that's what Tosfos is telling us. Whenever something is inevitable to happen, it means you knew it's going to happen and you wanted it to happen. But the bottom line is, Rav Shimon does allow you to use nes v'chol. So how can we say the brisa that says that you can use nes v'chol on silver? Is Rav Shimon, that brisa says you can't use nes v'chol on your face and your hair? Says the Gemara, you're right. Elohav ha'ar Rav Yehuda. The two brises, one brisa says you may use nes v'chol on kalim, and one brisa says you can't use nes v'chol on kalim, both represent Rav Yehuda's view. The trait to know, leave it Rav Yehuda. There's a machloikas tanoim, what Rav Yehuda will hold in such a situation. Hi, Tana Lida Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Loigir. One man says it's mutter, and one says not. Ask the Gemara. For hi, Tana Lida Rabbi Yehuda Sovel Loigir. The Tana that says the coin Rabbi Yehuda you're not allowed to use nes v'chol to polish your silver. But my kimta, how are you establishing it? It's Rabbi Yehuda, and we'll say that Rabbi Yehuda will hold that this is a dovish and a miskaven for mamachek that's awesome. Fine. But let's learn the rest of that price. Hey, Masefa, Alpanav Yadav Mutter. You're allowed to use Nesvachol, that price, it says, on your face, on your hands. But the question is, Amavaseir, you're taking off here. And even if you tell me that's not your intention, and even if you tell me it's not for sure going to happen, Rabbi Yehuda still holds the Dovashen Miskaven as also. And we're saying that this price is Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, three Trutzim. Ibai Sein Bekotten. This price is talking about a child that doesn't have any hair on his face. Ibai Sein Beisha, a woman who doesn't have any hair on her face. Ibai Sein Besris, it's a person that sterile that doesn't grow any facial hair. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda, Ofel Avinta, crushing a brick and using it to wash your face is permitted on Shabbos. Even somebody who has a beard. Amrav Yosef, Kusifa de Yasmin, the residue, the distillate of shumshimin, of sesames, also may be used to wash your face. Amrav Afa Pilpili, the distillate of pepper, also shari, because all these things don't necessarily take out the hair. Amrav Ashi, Amrav Sheshis, Barda Shari. Even Barda may be used. These are all types. They're not soaps. Nobody should make a mistake that they're soap, because in soap you have a problem of a machik. So they're not soaps. They were powders. My Barda, Amrav Yosef, Tilsa Ola, it's a third of Ola. Ola is a type of a powder which is very strong that does remove hair. That's like when people use, they want to use a shaver, they'll use powder. That powder is called Ola. Tilsa Asa, it's a third from Hadassim. The Tilsa Sigli, it's a third from violets. So since it's not, it's this concoction does not necessarily pull out the hair, and that's why it's mutter. Arav Nachem ben Yosef, Kol Hecha de Leka Ruba de Allah, wherever the powder is not made up of a majority of Allah, Shapadam, you're allowed to use it. Why are you allowed to use it? Because it won't necessarily pull out the hair. But if it's more, the halacha is that you're not allowed to use it. Why are you not allowed to use it? Because it may pull out your hair, which is awesome. Now, what's going to be the halacha? Very interesting piece. It's not that negel halacha lemaisa, but there is a concept that we're going to learn from this. Let's say barda, which or any or ola, which is more than 50% ola, was saying you're not allowed to use. Why? Because it may pull out the hair. Why it may pull out the hair? And then it's a secretion. What's going to be the halacha if you have one of these powders in front of you and you don't know if it's roiv ahala or not? May you use it or not? It's a suffic psikration. By roiv ahala, it's a psikration that's going to pull out. What's going to be halacha by suffic psikration? So the Mishnah Brewer says that you're not allowed to use it. Why are you not allowed to use it? Because he says even if you hold that a suffic psikration is mutter, because the definition of psikration is only when you know for sure that the malacha is going to happen. This is different. Because here I can be mavaru. I can always find out what is the composition of this powder. And therefore, even Rav Shimon will agree it's also. So we'll take this concept to Shaila like this. Let's say somebody lends me his apartment for Shabbos. He lets me stay in his apartment on Shabbos. But by the time I arrive there, it's already Shabbos. And there's the refrigerator, which he's allowing me to use. But I don't know if he removed the bulb from the refrigerator on from before Shabbos or not. May I open it up or not? Opening up a refrigerator that the bulb is in is certainly usur. It's a psikresha of turning on a light. Now here it's a suffic psikresha, and I'm not interested in the light. I'm interested in the refrigerator. But it's a type of psikresha that's efshel avrure. How? You can find out if the light is on or not. So will I have a heter to open up that refrigerator door now? What? You can always find out. Efshel avrurei doesn't mean that, but Allah doesn't mean you have the chemist in front of you either. It's something that's efshel avrurei means it's not a shailin halacha. When you have two tanoim arguing, it's efshel avrurei, because we don't know what the halacha is. A metzia is something that's a fact, is always efshel avrurei. The fact that you can't find out right now, let's say you'll have this concoction in front of you on Shabbos. You can't write to the company on Shabbos, you can't call the company on Shabbos. That doesn't mean it's not efshel avrurei. You don't have to have the chemist in front of you to make it efshel avrurei. It may be us to open up the refrigerator in such a home, unless you're quite certain that it's that he took out the bulb from before Shabbos, or you can ask a guy to open it. Continues the Gemara. What's the halacha about bursting olives on Shabbos? So there's a very big machlokes Rashi and Tosfos how to learn this Gemara. Rashi learns that the purpose of bursting these olives, where the olives were very bitter, and in fact, some Pais can prove from this Gemara, from Rashi Shita, that olives are considered a davar charif. So the olives are very bitter, and the way he took off the sharpness from it was by bursting them and getting out some oil. And what that means is you shav your oil, oichel. You're making this into a food on Shabbos. It was an edible before, and now you're making it into an oichel. Tosfos has a problem with this pshat of Rashi. The problem with this pshat is, Tosfos asks, first of all, the rest of Gemara may not work so well, but the biggest problem is how does it get into Milavah Gemara? In Milavah Gemara, we're talking about Hilchos Muksa, and all of a sudden we have a shayla about shav yochel, making something into an oil, into oichel, which would be close to schita. So the Pnei Yeshua, before I tell you what Tosfos' pshat is, the Pnei Yeshua has the answer for Rashi. He says, very good. If the halacha is going to be that you're not allowed to burst the olives on Shabbos, and the olives are inedible, they become muksa. So that's how it fits into our Gemara, because the olives may be muksa if you're not allowed to burst them on Shabbos. So the Pnei Yeshua answers Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos says that the question here is a simple question. Are you allowed to use this olive juice to wash your hands? To wash your face, to wash your hands? Says the Gemara, Amaluhu. So the question was, are you allowed to burst these olives on Shabbos? Amaluhu v'chi b'chol mi'ituru. You're asking me a question about Shabbos, and during the week you're allowed to suffer. Why does he hold you're not allowed to do this during the week? B'shem hefset oichlin. So according to Tosfos, the kasha of the Gemara is very good. You're not allowed to use olive juice to wash your hands, you're being doing Baal Tashchis. You could have used it to drink. According to Rashi, it's a little difficult. How does it work in? Says the Gemara, Lema Pliga de Shmuel. So he obviously holds you're not allowed to use olive juice to wash yourself. Dama Shmuel Oisak Adam Kol Tzarech Bepas. That you're allowed to use bread, even not to eat. So he says that's not a comparison. Amri. Pas Lema Isa. If you take a piece of meat or a piece of fish and you put on bread, the bread doesn't become inedible. So the bread is not ruined, and that's why you could use the bread for other purposes. However, hani miisi, the olive that you use to wash your hands, you're not going to use anymore to drink. And that's why he said you shouldn't use it. Says the Gemara. Amayim mazutra ravashi av yasri. They were sitting together. Eisel kaimai barda. They brought them barda. Amayim ravashi mashu. Amayim ravashi washed their hands on it. Mazutra did not wash his hands. Amrle, so they said to him, Lesavla Mar, don't you agree? Lahadam Rav Sheshis, Barda Shari, that you're allowed to use Barda. Amrle, Rav Match Barmine de Mar. Don't bring a proof from what he says. The Fil Bachal, Nami Lesfirle. He holds that you're not allowed to use this kind of, a man is not allowed to use this kind of liquid to wash himself even during the week. Why? Because it's Alocha, Lesilbish Gever, similar to Isha. A man is not allowed to put on a garment of a woman, so he's not allowed to use these kind of perfumes or better types of washes even during the week. So it's nothing to do with Shabbos. It's a halacha of Leisilvash. Kihada Tanya, Megarer Adam Gildei Tzoya, a person to scrape off scabs of waste, the Gildei Mako, if he has a wound, Shabbosar B'Shvil Tzaroi, if he's doing it because it bothers him. However, in Bishvil Yapois, if he's doing it to beautify himself, also. So that's why he didn't let them use the barda. Nothing to do with Hilchos Shabbos. It was Allah of Leis Silbash. V'inu, that they held you are allowed to use the barda. Says, Kehad Tanya, Reichetz Adapan of Yad of Aragel B'chol Yoim. A person should wash his hands and feet and face every day. Bishvil Kainai. In respect to Hashem, Shemenem Kapal Hashem Lemeneyu. And washing yourself shows that you respect Hashem. And in fact, it's interesting. The Rambam says that not only should a person wash his face every day, but he should wash his face before he davens. That's the way a Jew approaches Hashem, our King. This is the makar. We don't have time to go into very deep. But this is the makar why a man is not supposed to dye his hair, or he's not supposed to pull out his white hair. Because like Silbash Gever, similar to Isha. This Tosfos, however, says a very interesting thing. Tosfos says, the Gemara says if it's Bishvil Tzaroi, if you're doing it not to make yourself beautiful, but you're doing it because you're in pain, and that's why you're scraping things off your body, then it's mutter. Taisa says tsar doesn't necessarily mean physical pain. Mental pain also can be considered pain. So let's say you have something on your body that causes you embarrassment. You're embarrassed to walk out in the street that way. Then there's no problem with silbash. That's what Taisa says. And the michsalazer, taka paskins, that let's say somebody has pimples on his face, he's acne on his face. And it's very embarrassing. Even a male may take different types of creams or complexion items to correct his complexion because he's mizbayish. But there's a very interesting shaila that many, many shaila tshuvas discuss. What happens, apparently this can happen, that somebody, half his face turns white, half his beard, half his hair turns white, and the other half doesn't. Is he allowed to dye his hair or not? In other words, if your hair just turns white, there's no hetter to dye your hair for a man. There's no hetter for a man to dye your hair. There is a shaila. We're not going to pass on the shaila now. Let's say you have a bocher, a guy who's still single, and if he's going to turn white, it'll be harder for him to get married. Is he allowed to dye his hair? There's a famous story with the Briskerov, where the Briskerov said to somebody came to ask him the shaila, he said no. Then that person showed him this taisvis. He said, I see the taisvis, but I still say no. But you'll become a chassan anyway, and he became a chassan quite shortly afterwards. But that's stories. So a single person has such a shaila, I'm not going to patskin. But what's going to be the halacha, a person who's baruch shem married? It's sort of embarrassing, half white, half black. Is he allowed to dye his hair or not? It's a big shaila. Many paskin, the Devar Chayim, is machmer. The Devar Chayim is machmer, the Shaul Meshev is machmer, but there are other paiskim that seem to think that you could be makel. Says the Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Kupa, let's say you have this Kupa that's in the Gizit Semer, Matal Tzida, you should tilt it out, Vinaitel, and take it out, Shemayita, we don't want you to take out, you don't want you to touch the Gizit Semer because they're muksa. Says the Gemara, Amar of Abba, Amar of Chivarash. Hakel Moidim, everybody agrees. Shim Niskalka Aguma, that let's say you had a hole in which you did that mon of the pat, surrounded by Gizei Tzemer, Sh'osla Hachzer, that you're not allowed to put the pat back in. Why? Because you're removing the Gizei Tzemer. And Tosis points out, but maybe you won't be moving the Gizei Tzemer directly with your hand. You'll be moving the Gizei Tzemer with the pat. And we said that moving muksa, not directly, is mutter. So why can't you put it back in? So Taisus says that if you have to move the muksa so much, in other words, when we say tiltum and atzad is mutter, it's only if you have to move the muksa a little. But here you're manipulating the muksa. The fact that you're just using your pat instead of using your hand is not a heter. Now we go further. It says in the Mishnah, v'cham oimrim noitel machzer, that you're allowed to take the pat out of the encasement of Gizit Semer and return it. So now the question is, Heichidom, exactly what happened? Idlo in the Skalka Aguma, if the Gizit Semer did not fall in, Shapa Kamri Rabbonin. They're right. Why shouldn't I be able to put it back in? Elav, after the Loin Skalka. It must be that the Mishnah is talking in a case where it did not fall in. Elav, after Pidin Skalka Aguma. Why? So if it's in Skalkal Aguma, why could Rabbanan allow you to put it back in? You'll be moving the Gizit Semer. Says the Gemara, Loi. Lo'olam de Loi in the Skalkal. The Guma did not get fallen in. V'hocha, what's the Chshash? V'hocha b'choshin k'mifki. The concern is, are we worried that if it's going to fall in, you're still going to move it around? Says Machlok Sushanim, how to learn this. Rashi and most Rishonim seem to learn, the concern is that it's very likely that it's going to fall in. And if it falls in, we just learned you're not allowed to manipulate it. That's why Rabbi Elazar was machmer, that you shouldn't take it out directly at all. The Rishash says that since the halach is, we quoted it when we started learning Parakira, that a person's supposed to eat warm food on Shabbos, we want to make sure that nothing will happen to disturb that. The Rambam learns that there's an isser of doing a new hatman on Shabbos. If you take it out and you put it back in, it's considered doing a new hatman on Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva Eiger is very bothered with the Rambam, because the halach is, we're going to learn the Gemara, that let's say something is mutman, and now you take it out, you're allowed to put it back in. So why is that a concern according to the Rambam? So that's the chashash. Masava, the Rabbi Lezer's concern, chosh Hashem niskalkal aguma, that it'll fall in, and then you'll have to correct it, or whatever we said. Or Masav, the Rabbanan said, if it doesn't fall in, ain't chosh Hashem, I have nothing to worry about. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, hai slikusa. Slikusa is a plant. It's a very good smelling plant, maybe a violet. And they used to take it to smell. So the question is, are you allowed to, this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara, are you allowed to pull it in and out of the earth that it's in on Shabbos? Says the Gemara, dots of a shelf of a hada dotsa, and before Shabbos, you pulled it in and out and in and out, two times, sharia. So it's not considered connected, and there's no problem on taking out on Shabbos. It's not considered that you moved the earth. Vilav, but if you did not do that before Shabbos, usr, then you're not allowed to move it out on Shabbos. Amar Shmuel, hai sakina de beni urba. They used to put a knife, a saw, in between the rows of bricks in a home. And the question is, can you pull it in or out? Dots v'shof v'ad dots. Again, the same halacha. If you pulled it in and out before Shabbos, shari. It's not considered that you move any of the earth around it. And there's no concern, Rashi says, on mamachik, that you may scrape the bricks. V'loy, but if you're not pulling in and out, so it doesn't come out easy. So it means when you pull it out, you may scrape the bricks, and it's awesome. Mazut retain Rav Ashi Omer, begurdus dekani, in a case that you have pieces of reeds that come out of a plat, you're allowed to pull them out, in and out also. Amalei Matchler of Masya, Shavadami. Amalei Rav Matchler Rava, Masra of Katina Tiyufta. Rav Katina asks a question on this psak. It says, "Hatayman lefes v'tzaynin," is if somebody plants, and like Rashi says, they didn't take root. You just put them into the earth. Lefes is turnips. Tzaynin is radishes. Tax a geffen under vine. Im hayu mixes alav agulim. If some of the leaves are still uncovered, ain a chayish shloimishim klayim. There's no problem that you planted a vegetable and a fruit together, which would be klayim. V'loy mishum shviyas, you're allowed to do this in the Shemitah year. V'loy mishum maiser, if anything continues to grow, there's no new chiv maiser. That means if what you put in had already had maiser removed from it, you don't have to worry that anything more will grow. V'nitlam b'shabbos, it says you're allowed to pull it out in Shabbos, even though that there was no previous dots of a shalf of a hada dotsa. We just learned that the only time you're allowed to pull it in and out is you had dots of a shalfa first. Says the Gemara to Yufta. From here you see that you don't have to have dots of a shalfa. You could, even without it, pull it in and out.